Right. Part two, continuation from last week, so we can take some time to kind of digest all this that we're putting it all together. We've been talking about 2 × 8 = 16. We've actually been in a larger study on the whole book of Acts since actually last Sunday in 2025. So we started right at the new year, and we've been studying through the book of Acts. And one of the sub-studies in the book of Acts that we've been doing is that I've got a study that I'll do with people who ask, what do I need to do to be saved? Or I'd like to become a Christian, or I'd like to join the church, or however they word the question, I filter it and say, they want these answers, and these answers are found in this study that I do with three different chapters in the book of Acts. A lot of times when I've done this study, it's about an hour and a half, and I could have just sat down in 5 minutes and said, well, you need to do this and this and this and this. But I don't like to do that, because then that's just another preacher from another church, from another denomination, giving you their opinion of what you should do. And I don't like that, because that's where things have gotten convoluted, things have gotten confusing, and it's a mess. Agreed? Because there's a lot of churches out there, and there's a lot of ministers out there, and there's a lot of different people that say different things, and then you get to a point, and you're like, well, I don't know, I'm so confused over this subject. I'm of the opinion, talking about opinions, that this is one subject in the entire Bible that God does not want to be confusing. Would you agree? So what this study does is it says, okay, let's look at Scripture and let's see what Scripture says about this subject. And then you can make your own conclusions. You can look at things yourself. So that's why it takes a little bit of time. But it's also something that's very, because it is just straight from Scripture. You don't have to have some big, you know, degree to do it. You just can open the Bible and you go to what three chapters? You guys who have been with us for a while, what three chapters? 2, 8, and 16. And that's really easy to remember, because 2 × 8 = 16. There you go. And so you go to these three different chapters. And so I want to review those chapters real quick, as we get a run into this today. So in Acts chapter 2, Peter and the rest of the disciples, they receive the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they start sharing the gospel and all these, okay, we're not there. We're going to be there a while. I'll let you know when we get to Scripture, so you can just leave it. There we go. Thank you so much, sir. So Peter and the other disciples, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so then they start speaking in all these different languages. They start sharing the gospel in all these different languages. And the people accuse them of being drunk. And Peter says, we're not drunk. Not as you think we are. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And he goes on from there to share with them about the gospel of Jesus. The Spirit opens a door. The Spirit manifests himself. I love that word. That's the word that Paul chooses to use in Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, when he talks about the spiritual gifts that we've been given, that the Holy Spirit manifests himself through those spiritual gifts, that he reveals himself, that he makes himself known, that he makes an appearance through these gifts. And so the Holy Spirit makes an appearance that day through these spiritual gifts that they have that day, sharing the gospel in all these different languages. And so Peter seizes the opportunity of being accused of being drunk. He seizes that opportunity to share the gospel. And he shares a very pointed, very aggressive gospel. Thankfully, not a gospel that would fit the version that we would share with really anyone here. Because he was talking directly to the people who put Jesus on the cross. Directly to the crowd that would have been involved in yelling, crucify him, 50 days earlier. And so Peter's version of the gospel is, you killed him, but God raised him from the dead. So thankfully, we're not in a position where we would ever have to present the gospel that aggressively. But it definitely fit, and it got their attention. They were cut to the heart, we're told. And now we can go on and grab catch up on our story here. So in Acts 2:37, they were cut when they heard this, and this is the gospel story and some additional teaching that Peter shared from Old Testament scripture. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Okay, that means something happened. Something was different now. Something had changed. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, what should we do? What should we do? I love it when I hear that question in whatever version it shows up in. If someone says, well, I'd like to become a Christian, that's what I hear. What should I do? What do I need to do to be saved? We'll see that in Acts chapter 16. I'll hear, what do I need to do to be saved? I'll hear, brothers, what should we do? They're asking. If you're ever talking with someone, and I sure hope that as we are going through this study through the book of Acts, it's igniting some fires in every one of us, and we're going to be a little more aggressive with sharing the gospel, not abrasive as Peter was with it, but to be more active, because what we have is awesome. Do you not agree? Yes? It is. Yeah, it's okay. Guys, come on. We get eternal life with God. That is awesome. This is a subject I love. I love to talk about. I'm trying not to be as much on my notes. And I meant to set a little, like a stopwatch. I got my timer here, but that doesn't always keep my attention. So let me see here. 25. Well, we'll set it for 30. And that way I can just cut loose. Does that work for you guys? And then I just won't be thinking. So there we go. 30-minute timer, so that would be 36 minutes. Okay? So, and I'll just let it go, and hopefully we can get as far as we can. And I can just keep being a heart today. Some days I'm a teacher, and there's going to be some teaching. But today I want my passion of the gospel to be evident and to be shared and to add to all this stuff we're learning in the book of Acts. Okay, so bringing back to where I was for the timer. Without notes, you get more ADD dusty. So, Peter sharing the gospel. We don't have to be as aggressive with ours, but we do want to be, we don't have to be as abrasive, but we do want to be more aggressive with sharing the gospel. They were cut to the heart. They said, brothers, what shall we do? So we want to hear that question or a version of that question as we're sharing. And they're asking you, help me. And Christians, that's when we jump in with both feet. That's when everything you've done to that point has come to the moment that you are wanting. Is for them to ask you, what do I need to do? What's next? What's my next step? I want to become part of the church. I want to become a Christian. I want to spend eternity in heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Any of those different questions is asking, what should I do? And you are the treasure holder. You are the jar of clay that has inside of you the treasure of the gospel of Jesus. And so anytime we hear that, boy, we should jump for joy and we should step with both feet into that conversation. And we can use Acts 2 times 8 equals 16 to help answer that question. So they said, what should we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for your children and for who? All, I love that word, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So I was going back to Joel, all who call on the name of the Lord are saved. So all. There's a lot of alls involved in this subject. All who are far off, all who God calls to himself. We know that God wants all people to be saved. Peter writes about this, the same guy that was just talking in Acts chapter 2. He writes about this in 2 Peter 3:9. He says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should what? God doesn't want anybody to perish, but that... There's that word, that all should reach repentance. All, the promise is for all. God's desire is that all should reach a point of repentance and be saved. Jesus commands us to go into what? All the world, all the nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey everything that Jesus taught us to obey. All. Acts 1:8, a verse that hopefully none of us are going to get sick of it, but it's definitely a verse that we are familiar with, and you're going to be able to quote it probably by the end of this study. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. It's still a smaller circle, but then he says, to the ends of the earth, which is just another version of what? All, everyone, everywhere. That's where I want you to go. Okay, so the promise is for all people. The command to go is to go into all the earth, all the nations. And we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to go everywhere, to go to all people. There's a lot of alls, which is really, really good, because there are more alls in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's every one of us. That's you, that's me, that's everyone. All is all. And I got my timer going, so if I get caught. The grammar here is really interesting. For all have sinned, and when I'm in the study here, I'll bring up this verse, and I'll have them read it. And oftentimes people will correct the grammar without even noticing it. And they'll read it, for all have sinned and fallen short. But that's not what it says, does it? No, this is exactly correct. In fact, if it were going to be more correct, this is a present infinitive. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little English nerdy on you there. This is a present infinitive. So this is past. That translates real well. For all have sinned and are continually falling themselves short would be an actual translation of the grammar involved in that. It's a present infinitive, and it's also not an active or a passive. It's what they call in the Greek tense. We don't have this. The middle tense, which means you're doing something to yourself. That's the verb. We are continually falling ourselves short. So that's you, that's me, that's everyone outside these walls, that's everyone around the world, that's everyone in all of history. All have sinned and are continually going to fall themselves short. We're not going to be able to earn it. Here in 6:23, we see what we do earn. The wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. That's what a wage is. The wages of sin is death. But what Ryan was talking about earlier, what the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We talked last week about how it is a free gift. Indeed, it is free for us. We don't have to earn it. But it was anything but free, wasn't it? There was a price, and it was Jesus' suffering. It was Jesus on the cross. It was Jesus being separated from God. But to us, the gift is offered free. We get to receive something that we could never afford on our own. And we talked last week that though it is a free gift, it involves conditions. It is a covenant. Jesus, at the Last Supper, when he initiated communion, this is the blood. This is my blood, the blood of the new what? Covenant. That's an agreement. A covenant is an agreement. And covenants or agreements, they come with conditions. This is not a free blanket gift. It's not a handout. It is free. But just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean that everyone in all of history is going to go to spend eternity with God. That's not how it works. We have a part in responding to this offer. That's the offer of salvation. And our response involves conditions. Now, the conditions are pretty simple, at least entering are simple. And they're logical. They make a lot of sense. But don't confuse, and this is what last week we spent a lot of time on this. Don't confuse conditions with earning it. We are absolutely getting something that we cannot pay for, that we cannot earn, that we cannot gain a level of merit worthy of receiving it on our own. Conditions are part of an agreement. They're part of a covenant, but they're not part of earning. Does that make sense? Okay, hopefully it does. Hopefully that got a chance to set in a little bit from last week. So the conditions to receive it are simple. We have to believe. We confess that Jesus is Lord. We repent, calling on the name of the Lord, and we are immersed, which is baptized into Jesus. And we see these things happen here in Acts chapter 2. From there, God simply asks us to live like a kingdom member. That's the continuation expectations, or part of the covenant, the agreement of the covenant. So as we return to Acts 2, reviewing 2:41, so those who received his word were baptized. And I love his wording here. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom that day. I'll put them over here. So it all starts with a Holy Spirit activity, okay? And I don't know if that's translating over there or not. A dotted smiley face. So that's my version of the Holy Spirit when I'm drawing him out. He looks a little more like a cookie. Okay? And then we have a faithful disciple. Okay, we'll just a little more visible. There we go. And they share the gospel. Simple? Yes? Then the hearer, those who are hearing the gospel, then they have some parts of this receiving that just make sense. And there's an order to them. There's a linear order to them. And that is, they hear the gospel, so they believe the gospel. That makes sense to be a condition. Why would you want to be part of a kingdom you don't believe in? And that just, but that is a condition. You see how that's a condition? It's not just here you go. It's, well, there has to be a piece of this that you're involved in. And part of that is believing. Part of it's confessing. Okay? And that, this is a, I'll put an asterisk. We'll come back to that in a little bit. And then as we read here, repent and baptized. They're together. They're a package deal. And we looked at this for forgiveness of sins and the gift, gift of the Holy Spirit. So believe, confess, repent, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. These are very simple, but they are conditions that we see throughout the book of Acts, throughout the whole New Testament, that this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. And the result, as we read in Acts chapter 2, was that 3,000 souls were added to their number that day after this happened. This had to come first, but this is what finishes it up. And they received forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 souls were added that day. That's what gained that definition from Luke, as he was recording this, as a historian, a Christian historian, sharing about the beginning of the church. Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit initiates again. So the Holy Spirit, sorry, he is hard to see, but sometimes he is hard to see, right? So the Holy Spirit initiates again, and he goes, and not as flashy, but he says to Philip, he's like, hey, I need you to go over this desert road over by Gaza. So Philip goes, and he gets there, and the Holy Spirit initiates again. He says, I need you to go over and stand by that chariot. And so he runs, and we're going to read this. It's pretty short. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading. So he went to the chariot, and he heard a guy inside reading, Ethiopian. So he ran and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom I ask you, does this prophet say this about himself? Or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, faithful disciple, because he followed. The Holy Spirit said, here's where I want you to go. He sees the opportunity. and he shares the gospel. So beginning with that scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Now, as they go on, they come upon some water, and the eunuch says that the Ethiopian, this African, he says, here's some water. What's standing in the way of me getting baptized? And so they stop the chariot. They hop down. They go down into the water, which gives us even more description. I mean, baptism means to dip. It means immersion. But here in Acts chapter 8, we get a very clear description. They go down into the water. He baptizes him. They come up out of the water. So it's not pouring. It's not sprinkling. At least what we see in the Bible, that's what it is. They go down into the water, baptizes him, comes up out of the water, and then the Spirit takes Philip away. And that's where it ends again. The story's over. God's like, all right, you did what I need you to do, faithful servant. After he's baptized, whoosh, God swoops him up out of there. Literally like a Star Trek, just beams him up. He appears in his Otis. And he's, oh, okay. And just goes on his way. So we can see these, I mean, we don't see all of this in the chariot, but we have to assume he's going from sharing the gospel. If he didn't believe it or didn't confess that Jesus is Lord, at least in his mind, then why would he want to be baptized? There'd be no reason for that. So it's pretty easy to go on and make some of these jumps, but we definitely see he shares the gospel and he's baptized, and these other pieces make perfect sense that they're right there. I mean, why would you do that if you didn't believe, at least? I mean, at least we can say belief is part of it. So Acts chapter 16. So last week we looked at Acts chapter 16, and it follows this exact same pattern. The Holy Spirit acts in a couple of different ways. He gives the ability to Paul to cast the demon out of the slave girl, and that starts an avalanche of stuff with all the people there. And then they end up in jail, and then the Holy Spirit initiates the jailbreak. Clearly God's activity. The doors open, and the doors of the jail open, but also the doors of opportunity open for Paul and Silas. And instead of running for their freedom, they seize that opportunity. We have a faithful disciple, and they tell the jailer, hey, we're all here. So the jailer falls at their feet, and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they share the gospel with them. He says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. And then he shares the gospel with him. And then we're told he and his whole household were baptized that night. And then night and day, they wake up the next morning, and the rest of the story finishes with Paul walking in there and saying, I can't, or no. They say that he can be released, and he says, no, you're going to come walk me out because I'm a Roman citizen. And they're making the home loan face at that point, and they're going, oh, man, we messed up. So let's take these notes. We've taken these notes three different times. Once when we were in Acts chapter 2, I think back in March. And then we were in chapter 8. And then I don't remember what month that was in. And then now, of course, after finishing chapter 16 last week, these same notes have been in the bulletin every week of those 3 weeks. So Acts 2 times 8 equals 16. What's great about these three different accounts in Acts 2, Acts chapter 8, and Acts chapter 16 is because everything is different. There is not a single thing that's similar between the setting of these three different accounts. You have three different, what was my first one? Locations? Disciples. You have three different disciples. So, see how visible this is. You have three different disciples. You have Peter. You have Philip. Sorry, Philip, is there two P's? Two L's what? Which one? Two L's. Two L's, there we go. Philip, only those close enough could have seen. And you guys all know I can't spell, so. So you have Peter, Philip, and Paul. Three different disciples, and about as different as you can be. I don't want to camp out here too long, but you got Peter, who was one of the 12. One of the 12 who was a deserter, remember? And then a deserter. He did run. He wasn't at the cross like John was. Do you know this man? No, I don't know this man. Do you know this man? Oh, no, I don't know this man. Do you know this man? No, I don't know this man. Right? That's Peter. Walked on water, Peter. Pretty amazing. All these people are leaving. And Jesus says, who do you say I am? And Peter opens his mouth. You are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus says, God revealed that to your lips, to your brain, to your heart, Peter. So we have Peter. Philip, if you remember right, when we were there, he's basically a first century nursing home caretaker, a nursing home cafeteria worker. He was taking meals. Now, you go and you say, well, Philip was doing some pretty amazing stuff for the kingdom. Yes, he was. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was full of wisdom. He was trustworthy and all that. That's why he got the job that he did. But his job in the church was to take care of these widows and make sure that they had their meals. So that to me kind of says nursing home cafeteria worker. Okay? So that's Philip. Kind of general, just your average Joe. He's not one of these Peters or Pauls. He's just, and I love that. I love that about this story because it brings it to every single one of us. You don't have to be Peter or Paul. You can be a Philip. And still be faithful and still share and still see kingdom results. Souls saved. Every soul counts. And so then you have Paul. Whoa, Paul, who is persecuting the church, walking with papers in his hand to arrest Christians into Damascus. And Jesus confronts him and says, hey, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, dude, I have no clue who you are. And he said, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. And he's blinded. He goes in and into Damascus and he meets up with, I didn't have this in my notes. Find his name. Starts with an A. Anybody helping? What? Yes. Ananias. Thank you. Was that my wife? Thank you. She's an Acts major. So he goes in there and, He meets up with Ananias, and Ananias baptizes him, and then he can see us and see again. And then he goes on, he becomes just an amazing guy. We've been reading about a bunch of stuff, and we're going to continue reading this second half of the book of Acts. About as different as you can get, would you agree? Aside from the first consonant of their names. So your first name does not have to start with a P to be active. It just so happens that we have three. So three different disciples, three different, what's the next one? Locations, maybe? Locations, three different locations. So Peter is in Jerusalem. I'm going to shorten that, J-E-R. Philip is on a desert road. So somewhere between Jerusalem and Gaza. And unfortunately now everyone knows where Gaza is. For years when I would teach this, I had to point it out on a map. But now for negative reasons, we all know where Gaza is on a map. Gaza and Israel for that fact. So Jerusalem, the city, desert road, out in the middle of nowhere. And then Paul is in a Philippian, in Philippi. I want to pee. Anyway. There. Now we'll just kind of blur it. So, but Paul is in Philippi, which is a Roman city, a big Roman city. And we're into Macedonia now. So very, very different locations. Agreed? Okay, so what's the next one? Three different disciples' locations? Oh, I need to go. Three different converts. So, and this deals with nationalities. That's probably the next one, too. So we'll hit that one with it. Is that the next one? Yes. Three different converts, which means three different nationalities. So they're in Jerusalem, and they were Jews. That is not going to be easy to read, but you get the idea. Philip was African. And we can bring the R word into this a little bit. They were three different what? Races. Okay, so we have the Jews, we have an African, and then we have a Roman. Jailers in the Roman times, they were typically ex-soldiers who were in charge of the jail. And so he was Roman, about as Roman as you can get there. So three different nationalities and then three different size groups. So this was, so to be greater than, is that greater than 3,000? Am I right on my math? Is it the other way? It's got to go the other way. Of course you're going to screw that up. Everything else. I can't spell. I can't do math today. So, but at least I can preach. So that's what I'm here for anyway. So greater than 3,000 because we know that 3,000 were baptized. We don't know who however many were there that did not take Peter up on this awesome, awesome offer. Philip was how many? What? Well, the converts. Just one. So there was one group. Well, okay, I see where you're saying the group of people involved. But Paul was a family. It was in the jailer's house, and he shared the gospel with his whole family. About as different as you can be. And the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? What do I do now? Brothers, what should we do? The answer to that question was the same in every one of these accounts. If there was going to be a difference that was based on a person sharing the gospel, if there's going to be a difference based on location, based on where you were, if there's going to be a difference based on nationality or race or your background or where you come from or where you are, if there's going to be a difference based on this is what you do when there's thousands, here's what you do when there's one, here's what you do when there's a family. If there was going to be a difference, it should have showed up here, correct? Not in all the bunch of churches that we have all across the place saying all these different things. That frustrates the mess out of me. If there was going to be a difference, it should have shown up here, but there was no difference that shows up here. Let's write that down. All with the same components to how they responded to the gospel. All with the same components of how they responded to the gospel. My timer's going to go off and I'm going to be in trouble. A disciple of Jesus shared, of course, I gave myself a little bit of margin after that goes off. So a disciple of Jesus shared the gospel. And we've talked about this. So let's go and write it down. So a disciple of Jesus shared the gospel. We've written this down a bunch of times and we're not going to, on PowerPoint, we'll skip the verse coming up. The gospel is of first importance. We read about that in 1 Corinthians 15. You can read that in your, isn't that in your bulletins? 1 Corinthians 15, is that there? All right, so you guys have the scripture, so you can read it on your own. I was going to go back and revisit that, but we'll keep trucking. So 1 Corinthians 15, then the next. The Holy Spirit will open doors to share the gospel. So we can skip to that note. Awesome. Thank you so much. So smooth. The Holy Spirit will open doors to share the gospel. So the Holy Spirit will open doors to share the gospel. There's a faithful disciple who shares the gospel, who opens their mouth, who is available and willing to do that. And the gospel is of first importance. It makes sense that it would come first in the order of things, in this linear order. The gospel, and then they have these pieces here. So let's keep writing these things down. So if we are faithful, so a little introspective here, if we are faithful and responsible, we will seize those opportunities to be God's witnesses. If we are faithful and responsible, we'll seize those opportunities to be God's witnesses and share the gospel. That when the Holy Spirit opens a door for us, that we would walk in through it. And we talked about, in Acts chapter 2, we talked about stepping into it and asking that difficult question. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you called on the name of Jesus? And it's one thing to share the gospel, to be faithful and see the Holy Spirit open a door and to share the gospel with somebody. But sometimes we just kind of leave it there. We need to be a little more assertive and to take that step of boldness and say, have you done that? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Here's Acts 2, here's 8, here's 16, here's what we see all of them do. Have you done these things? We talked in Acts chapter 8 about the Ethiopian eunuch saying, how can I understand this unless someone explains it to me? So how's my wording on this next one? Have you called on his name? So let's go forward. You guys should be able to find that from the quote. Do you understand what you're reading? To be able to hear that question and to not stay up here with it, but to step into it. To step in and say, yeah, I can explain this to you. And he started with that very scripture. So the gospel must matter more than our comfort zones. We talked about that in depth with the Philip and the Ethiopian. They were about as different as you can be between these two people. But Philip stepped way out of his comfort zone because the gospel mattered more than his comfort zone. So to be able to ask those questions, to be able to step into those conversations. And so the first step to receiving is to believe the gospel. We've got it here, but let's go on and write it down. And we've got a third once my timer goes off, we'll blow through the last part here. So we're going to do this the third time. So Peter's crowd believed. We know this because we were told that they were cut to the heart. The Phyllis Ethiopian saw water and wanted to be baptized. That wouldn't have happened if belief would not have come first from him sharing the gospel of Jesus. Paul's first statement with the jailer, sirs, what must we do to be saved? Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. And at that point, he shares the gospel with them and they're baptized. And they were happy because they came to believe in Jesus. So belief was definitely a part of that account as well. So just like the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, just like the Ethiopian that went down into the water and came up out of the water, and just as Peter shared in Acts 2:38, as we read earlier, each of these stories, they repent and they're baptized. So let's go on and write that down, and I have the little equation things there. Repent and be baptized. It's how it's written in Scripture. And here I'll have this match. Equals or it goes, results in, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. There we are. All right, but I do have a little bit of margin, so we'll hit the circle of life, the title of the sermon today. Each part of our response to God's offer for salvation is important. Each part of our response to entering into God's kingdom, each part is important, but there is an obvious, logical, linear movement here. But we're going to take that linear movement and we're going to turn it into a circle, because it's not just linear, it is cyclical as well. So, all right, so we'll go to this, and you can write this so that you've got a circle at the bottom of your thing, so you can draw a circle, and I've done this on anything that's available. You can do it on paper, on napkins, on a dry erase board, chalkboard, whatever. As long as you have something, you can write on it. I've never done it in sand, but you could probably do it in sand. Whatever you can do that you have a surface that you can write with, you can just grab whatever it is as you're sharing this. So we have our Bibles everywhere with us. So if someone asks, what must it do to be saved, or whatever version of that question you hear, then you can go. Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 16, let's look at all these similarities, all these things that happen. Let's draw a circle, let's put four lines on the outside and a line on the inside. Do-do-do-do-do, which those are drawn for you already. And so it starts, every one of these stories starts with what? A faithful disciple does what? Is that where it starts? There we go. And I don't have a lot of time, but as a Christian, not just as a paid minister, but as a Christian, for I don't know how many years, I just saw it as my job, and correctly saw it, my job to share of the kingdom, to share the gospel, to share and to see souls saved. To be active. And there's a huge amount of responsibility. I'm glad that I did. But, and I want this to be something, because it was freeing for me when I started realizing and seeing this other component that's a huge component. It doesn't all rest on you. He starts it. He initiates it. And he empowers us. And he says, don't worry about the words that you're going to share. You just go and you trust. And so we just have to be faithful disciples and share the gospel. We don't have to bear the burden, the amount of the burden that I felt for so many years and the pressure. Man, he's involved in all of it. And in every one of these stories, he starts it. He initiates it. So the Holy Spirit initiates it. Now we get to the faithful disciple tells the gospel story. They share the gospel story. The gospel is told, and then they hear the gospel. That's natural. And then they have a choice. So I've got a question mark. You can draw a question mark between those two. I'll do it when I'm sitting there and I'm writing on a piece of paper after we've done our Acts 2 times 8 equals 16 study. And then I'll walk them through and I'll say, well, let's look at what all these different accounts had similar. They heard the gospel story and then they had a choice to believe or not believe, just as any story. If I share with you some crazy story about me in college and you'd be able to listen to it and you'd be able to go, I'm not buying that. Or you'd listen and you go, dude, that guy's crazy. Okay? You got a choice. As with anything, any story, any narrative that is shared, you have a choice to believe or not believe. But if they choose to believe, then they've got another question. And that is, are you going to act on it? And if you're going to act on it, then that means repenting, which means turning to God, and being baptized. And I put an exclamation mark there because it's action. This side of the circle is action. That side of the circle is questions. And this is what happens in all three of these accounts. And so we can go through and we can say, here's what happens. Have you heard the gospel? Pretty easy. It's right there on paper and it's right there from three different chapters. And you can ask them. You can step into that danger zone, uncomfortable zone. Have you believed? Do you believe the gospel? A lot of people say yes, especially in our area. A lot of people have heard the gospel. A lot of people believe the gospel. Have you acted on it? Have you responded to your belief in a way that's consistent with these three accounts that we see in the early church? Have you repented? Have you been baptized as a connection to repentance? That means it's your choice. That doesn't mean it's someone else's choice for you. Repentance and baptism go hand in hand in the book of Acts, in the New Testament. Have you done that as a result of your own decision? That's a tough question. But if this is what's laid out in Scripture, shouldn't we be the ones asking the tough questions? Because that person sitting in front of you, they're not a Jew. They're not an African. They're not a Roman. They're a soul. They're a soul. And that soul will live forever in one of two places. And so we absolutely should be about asking those questions. Have you acted on it? Have you responded? Have you repented? Have you been baptized? And then it moves to the inside of the circle. Then you live it. Then you live it. And some of you guys are saying, well, where's confession? I put an asterisk by it. Confession is not just a one-time thing. And the confession that we understand from Romans 10 that we read last week is to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. And when we have someone come forward to be baptized or to join the church, we have a confession that's kind of a hybrid of Peter's confession and of this understanding that we are confessing that Jesus is Lord. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I can't do it without someone standing here with me. I believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, who died for my sins and rose again. And I accept him as my Lord and my Savior. So that's Jesus is my Lord. So that confession is not just a one-time thing. I have it on the inside of the circle, so we can go and write that confession. Confession. Confession is a lifestyle that the Christian lives. That everything we do, that people are watching, like we talked about last week, all the people in the jail, they are watching Paul and Silas. People are always watching us. Confession is listening to the Holy Spirit saying, go to this place, and you go to that place. And the Holy Spirit saying, I need you to go by the chariot, and you standing by the chariot, or whatever the equivalent is for you, that's confession. That's saying, Jesus is Lord with my lifestyle. And what that does is that opens the door for the Holy Spirit to open a door for you then to share the gospel, and it's cyclical. It continues going around and around and around and around and around. We can use this, can't we, church? It's pretty simple. Should we be about making disciples? We've been commanded to. We've been empowered to. And we have Scripture. And I don't know how intentional it was as God made things happen through the Bible. And I mean, the Bible wasn't originally written with Scripture and with verses and chapters. But here we are here after all that's been added, and we've got three chapters that are very easy to remember, 2, 8, and 16. So you can just sit down with the Bible and say, this is not just another person, another voice, another church, or another denomination. Here's scripture. Here's what happened. Do you believe? Are you going to act on it? Do you repent? Do you want to be baptized into Christ? If so, let's call Dusty. Let's call one of the elders, get the baptism filled, or go find some water somewhere else, a pool, a lake, a stream. If it's any of these places around here, make sure you wear shoes. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for the offer of salvation. Thank you so much for making it very clear. I hate that it has been so convoluted. And I know that is the work of our enemy, the devil. Father, help us to have simple minds and to simply go to Scripture and look at Scripture for what it says. To not argue over this or that, but just to say, here's what it says. Let's just do it. Does it say believe? Yeah. Then let's believe. Does it say be baptized? Yeah. Then let's get baptized. Does it say repent? Yes. Well, then we should be repenting. Say call on the name of the Lord. Yes. Then we should call on the name of the Lord. Father, just help us to take a simple approach as we share this, to not get caught up in arguments. Father, I pray that as we are going through the book of Acts, that you would be igniting fires in each of our hearts for the lost around us, for those who don't have the assurance that we have of eternity with you, who don't have the forgiveness of their sins, who don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we would be instrumental in being faithful and watching for the open doors that your Holy Spirit opens for us, and that we would step out of our comfort zones. We'd ask the difficult questions, and that the gospel would matter more than our comfort zones. Father, thank you so much for the gift of eternal life offered through your Son, Jesus, through his sacrifice. It is by grace. It's through faith. And we respond in faith through these different elements of receiving the gift that you've offered. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning. Pretty good morning for an invitation, wouldn't you say? If there's anyone here, and there are other reasons to come forward during the invitation, but right now, today, I'm just going to offer the one. And if you know the other ones and you want to come forward for any of the other ones, for whatever, but to stay with the focus. If you are here today and you believe in the Lord Jesus, you believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior, if you've never repented and been baptized as a result of your own decision, if you've never been immersed into Jesus, and you want to do that today, you don't need further study. We've seen it in Scripture, at least brought from Scripture. If you need to go and read it, I encourage you to do that. But if you're here and God is speaking to you and he's saying, this is the day, this is your time, don't wait, then I want to invite you to come forward during this next song. And when we stand, you come forward and you can be baptized into Christ right now today. Come forward as we stand and we sing our song of invitation.